Okay, so, and I hope my voice is okay. I've been suffering from a cold for the last week. Thank you, people with children, who participated in the massive virus exchange that begins every September. And that's punctuation. Okay, I should be given a long time because I've lived a long life. Okay, that's a joke. But we'll begin. 1959 in a Salvation Army hospital in Montreal called Catherine Booth Hospital, which is where I was born. So yes, je suis Québécois, legitimately and by birth. I grew up in the Montreal region. One of my big memories is Expo 67. I had to argue and plead and argue and plead and argue and plead to be allowed to go. And finally, my father took me. You know, it was one of the highlights of my life to that point. I remember especially the Ceylon Pavilion and tea. I don't like tea, but I really liked the pavilion. 1968, for various reasons, we moved from Montreal to the town of Metcalfe, south of Ottawa, and in fact, about 20 kilometers now from where I live. I went to public school there. I went to high school there. That's a picture of a high school, Osgood Township High School. I did a bunch of things. The main things I did, well, we built a ball diamond in our front yard in Metcalfe, and so I played baseball a lot as a kid, and I love baseball to this day. I was involved in public speaking, both in public school and high school, and you see pictures of me with my prizes. I actually won 5 times in 7 years, so I was effectively public speaking king of Metcalfe for a while. I was also on the Reach for the Top team for the high school for a couple of years. 1976, we went on a school tour to the United Kingdom, England and Scotland to be precise. I got to walk around the rocks of Stonehenge. I paid for that tour, interestingly, by working at the racetrack at Rideau Carlton in the box lounge, serving drinks and treats to the people. 1976 through 1980, that's when I leave home. I left home before finishing high school, and so I went through a whole bunch of interesting battles to try to finish my high school. I was living right in downtown Ottawa, in what would be called a slum. It all got gentrified over time, of course, so I had to move a bunch of times. But I tried, since I lived right downtown, I tried to get into Lisgar Collegiate, but they don't let people like me into Lisgar Collegiate, so they sent me to a high school called Laurentian High School, which is way out in Baseline Road. Eventually what I did, I moved, ultimately, I moved in with a French family in Hull, and I faked my address and got myself admitted to Nepean High School in the West End. And they never caught on until the very end when they actually called the number we provided and the person had never heard of me. But by then it was too late. I had already graduated from the Ottawa School of Continuing Education. I lived and worked in a variety of places. I worked at Lansdowne Park. You see pictured there. For 4 years, everything from vending popcorn to hot dogs to I drove around the little truck. I know that building really, really well, even after the renovations. And you can see on the lower left-hand side of the picture there, right at that spot is where I overturned a trailer load of coke workers on the tractor. Nobody was seriously injured, but it was an interesting time. I also lived in that building for a time in between places as I bounced around in very, very lower class Ottawa. I got myself into college. Algonquin College on a 3-year computer science program. They sent me to Rideau campus, the bad campus pictured, which was too bad, although what can you do? I was living in Sandy Hill at the time and would take the bus. Halfway through that, right during exams, I had to do a big long appeal of my student loans. It was a grant, and I worked with National Protective Services as a security guard at the time, and it turns out you can't do that, so they demanded all the money back. So instead of studying for exams, I was writing a 60-page appeal. I won my appeal, I passed my exams, but I said to hell with that, and I moved to Calgary in 1980 to find a job, which I got in 3 days with a company called Geophysical Services Incorporated, Do or Die for GSI, which is the original name of a company you may know better as Texas Instruments. And I worked with them for a year and a half living in Calgary. With GSI, I got sent to Austin, Texas for 3 months for training. I did a bunch of stuff while I was down there. I learned some programming. I learned a thing called MVS Jazz 3, Job Entry Subsystem. I took a bunch of courses. They sent 4 of us down, and when I came back, they gave 3 people jobs as shift operators on the new computer system. I received the highest scores of anybody, but I was the one who did not get the job. So you have to be something more than the best. So I left GSI, again, to hell with that. And I entered the University of Calgary. I started off as a physics major and took my humanities option. I signed up for English. English was full, so I picked philosophy. Turned out I was really good at philosophy. Not so good at physics, but partway through, I switched to a philosophy major where I flourished, and as you can see on the lower right hand, 5 years later, I graduated with an honors first class in philosophy. I also spent my entire time at the Gauntlet, which is the university student newspaper. I was the editor of the Gauntlet in 1983 and was re-elected in 1984. I was editor in 1984, re-elected 1985. It's funny, the only Gauntlet picture of the Gauntlet I could find online was the 50-year edition. We ran the 25th anniversary edition while I was editor. I was also sports editor when the University of Calgary Dinosaurs won the national championship. The picture of the University of Calgary there, which you see the arch, which is now the entranceway, that used to be a bridge over Crowchild Trail. So I walked over that bridge every day for many years going to the University of Calgary. I also worked with the Arusha International Development Resource Center, which is in Hillhurst Sunnyside in Calgary. So I did development education. Brought in speakers, organized programs, things like that. It's very useful and interesting. And I paid for my way through a combination of student loans and the weekend night shift at 7-Eleven. I'd come in Friday night and I'd do the Friday night, Saturday morning shift and the Saturday night, Sunday morning shift. And that was my work. In philosophy, I focused pretty much on philosophy of David Hume, pretty much the British empiricists, the logical positivists. I defined myself as an empiricist at that time. I was and am still convinced by an associationist picture of reasoning and inference, and a lot of the stuff that I learned then has influenced the work that I've done since then. So I did my master's in 1 year, also at the University of Calgary. That's not my thesis there. I stole a picture of off the internet. I worked with the Development Education Council of Alberta. I wrote three books while I was with them: Practical Graphic Design, Public Advocacy for Social Change, and Fundraising. Went to the University of Alberta, joined the Graduate Students Association immediately while I was there. You'll see that on the next slide. Supported myself by teaching critical thinking classes, entertained myself by communing with the buffalo at Elk Island National Park, where I would spend a lot of time camping. And when Brian Mulroney said, use it or lose it, with regard to our national railway, I chose to use it and did a memorable cross-country trip from Edmonton to Cape Breton and back by train. We lost it anyways. So Graduate Students Association came to dominate my time while I was in Edmonton. I was president of the GSA for 2 years. Two terms, basically. I spent 2 years as communications or VP communications, and then 2 years as president. We were very activist. We are very organized. You see a demonstration there, which I organized and led, shutting down the high-level bridge and marching on the legislature. What you can't see in that picture is that it's a March 5th, and it's minus 26, which was a ridiculous temperature for a demonstration. Also, during that time, in 1990, I sat on top of the hill at the Folk Festival and wrote my initial dissertation proposal by hand, beginning to end, and then spent a bunch of time retyping it, recomputing it, and filling it out with references and details and that, and ultimately submitted my proposal. It was called The Network Phenomenon, Empiricism and the New Connectionism, because that was when connectionism was really still kind of new. This proposal was rejected, and it was rejected because first of all, connectionism was wrong. Secondly, I really should be studying mental contents and mental representations, not connectionism. And third, even if the first two were wrong, I probably wasn't good enough to do that anyways. Which pretty much ended my interest in finishing my PhD. I never stopped working on the idea of networks and connections and things like that, but although I passed all my courses, passed all my comprehensive examinations, and I did write the stupid little thing on mental content so that I would pass my candidacy, but that was basically it for my PhD. I left Edmonton in 1993. I went up north and taught logic at Grand Prairie Regional College, and ultimately ended up living in a little cabin in a town called, a little log cabin actually, in a town called Eaglesham in Peace Country. Eaglesham had a population of 169. There's a whole story of Eaglesham there. During all this time, I was working with Athabasca University as a tutor for their critical thinking course. I started in 1987. I ended when I left Eaglesham at the end of 1994. I taught in First Nations communities across Northern Alberta. I taught online. I taught by telephone. I even created a thing called Athabasca BBS. That was a Maximus bulletin board system. Set it up, ran it, didn't get very much traction. It was, you couldn't do long distance at the time, of course. Looked into FidoNet to get around that. Learned a lot, but, the bulletin board didn't really do a lot. I had also been involved with what's called a MUD, multi-user dungeon. That started when I was at the University of Alberta. I carried that over to Athabasca. I spent a lot of time working on that while I was up in Eaglesham, and a group of us created what we called the Multiple Academic User Domain in 94, 95 for the Painted Porch mod, is what we called it. And I spent a lot of time developing that. That was actually used to teach philosophy and was actually used, and this is the screenshot from it, the background colorful image, for a Canadian Association of Distance Education conference in 1995. In 1995, I got my first real job since I left GSI, and that was to work with Assiniboine Community College as a distance education new instructional media design specialist. I also ran for mayor my first year in Brandon. That's because the incumbent, a guy called Rick Baratzik, that's the guy on the right there leaning into his hands, was running without opposition, which offended my sensibilities. So I ran against him, even though I had only been in this city for a few months. I got 11% of the vote, which I thought was pretty good, considering I'd only been in the city for 11 months. I also brought with me a thing called Stephen's Guide to the Logical Fallacies. I had written that when I was in Grand Prairie, and that still exists. You can find that at www.fallacies.ca. And what's pictured there is a thing called the Categorical Converter. And it's basically a representation, a graphical representation of all possible single statement categorical inferences. I built the Assiniboine Community College website, and the logo, you can't tell here, I built a version of the logo out of something like 24 small little GIFs, and as you moused over them, a little owl would pop out with the name of a program or a department or something. I thought it was a lovely effect. So I continued with Assiniboine for a number of years and did a bunch of things. I created a website for my cat. That's Puds on the left there, the original Cyber Kitty. That was Manitoba's first website for a cat. I created the Brandon Pages, which was an intro website for the city. I worked on the certificate for adult education. We launched Manitoba's first web-based course, Introduction to Instruction. I built learning management system, and I put it at 1999 because it took a couple of years to build a learning management system. We called it Online Learning Environment, or OLE. We used it for a bunch of things, like the general business certificate. Also, we used it to support high school courses offered through the Brandon Adult Learning Center. I wrote a paper called The Future of Online Learning, which holds true still to this day. The predictions turned out to be very sound. I got married in March of 1998 to Andrea. Our wedding date was March 17th, but due to paperwork, we actually finished getting married on March 18th. At the end of my time at Assiniboine, I was working on learning objects, modules, the whole idea of learning resources, discovering them, searching for them, etc. And there's a whole bunch of stuff around that. I went to the University of Alberta, where I was hired as an information architect. I created a thing called MuniMall, online information resources and learning community for the municipal sector in Alberta. That's elected officials, local government officials, etc. I was also involved in RSS around that time. I was Netscape user, at Netscape RSS account number 31, and was therefore one of the original contributors to the old Netscape Net Center. I was involved in a lot of the discussions around the development of RSS 0.9, 1.0, 2.0, etc. And of course the whole Atom saga. After my time with the University of Alberta, I got to spend 3 months in Australia. I was invited by Tim Van Gelder, who interestingly presented at the Connectionism conference that I attended years earlier back when I was at the University of Alberta. I went to Australia. We worked on developing his logic course for online delivery. And I worked with the people there in Australia on the concepts of knowledge, learning, community, did a bunch of presentations. I also did a thing with the Petroleum Engineer, Geophysicists and Geology Association of Alberta, called Pegasus, which was an online learning resources portal for the engineering sector. It was to be based on harvesting, and it was run by APIGA mostly in Edmonton. And in 2001, late in 2001, I joined NRC, and the very first thing I began to work on was what became EduSource Canada, a pan-Canadian learning object repository. But I also developed the concept of the learning marketplace more generally and tried to introduce that to EduSource. What I wanted EduSource to be was a network where resources could be aggregated from whoever produced them, there were a lot of disputes in that because there were commercial providers who wanted EduSource to be a private federation of repositories set up so that you would have to have your university ID and have to have paid tuition, etc., in order to access anything. We ended up with a bit of a compromise version of that. Also, in 2001, just after I got back from Australia, I started up a daily newsletter called OL Daily. That continues to this day. And between then and now, I've actually published 26,000 individual OL Daily articles, each one of about 100 to 200 words. Continuing on with NRC, there's the Cyber Kitty again. That's when she died. And I was very depressed and very unhappy. And I built a thing called EduRSS, which I dedicated to her. EduRSS was an RSS aggregator of learning objects or other learning resources. And basically what I did is I harvested things, organized them into topics, and then made them available either as a topic list or as a searchable resource. And of course, you can subscribe to the RSS feed. We also did, and this was Luke and I mostly, distributed digital rights management. Luke wrote some nifty JavaScript interfaces with it. I did some conceptual and design work in the background in open digital rights languages. This is what eventually became distributed DRM in JSON, which we patented with Desire to Learn as part of the Synergique project. Also around 2003, I was one of the people who began early work in podcasting. I created a thing called Ed Radio, and this predates Adam Curry and his stuff. And basically what I did is I would harvest RSS feeds, I would extract the MP3 files, the reference to the MP3 files, the URL in other words, from those feeds, and then create an SMIL file that you could listen to. I used WebJ instead of iTunes, and that was the major difference between what I did and what Adam Curry did. Ed Radio still exists. I did a little work on it recently. I ran it as a shoutcast server for many years with no listeners, but eventually I got tired of paying for a shoutcast server that had no listeners. So I did a bunch of, continuing on, NRC, blogging was big for a while. I did an article for EduCause. 2006 is around the time the personal learning environment concept is developed. I did work in OpenID. I developed a system called MIDM or Mighty Me, which actually involved putting identifiers into browser headers when you made a request. And that was a precursor to OpenID, which was eventually appropriated as Facebook ID and Google ID. I created a thing called RSS Writer so that you could import RSS feeds, feed them into a content writing environment, and then add to them, add content to them, edit them, whatever, and then send it to either Blogger or to your own website. And I worked on the concept of learning networks, the architecture of a learning network environment. This is building on and leading to what ultimately became Grasshopper. Grasshopper really comes into existence around 2008, and that's the system I've been working on for a number of years to build my newsletter. The idea, again, is the same. Aggregate the free resources that are out there, organize them, try to put some order onto them, and then distribute them again for free. And this was the system that we used to create the world's first MOOC, Connectivism and Connective Knowledge, George Siemens and myself. George and I had a long history talking about learning networks, talking about connections and things like that. We launched that course in 2008, did it again in 2009, and continued on through that, from there. The lower right there you can see in 2010 is from the Planck course, Personal Learning Environments, Networks, and Knowledge. Throughout this time, I was also involved in open educational resources. As you can see, they're a necessary ingredient to the model I've been working on, and that's myself and David Wiley, lower middle, having a debate about open educational resource licensing. Should we have non-commercial licenses or not? MOOCs changed the world, of course. 2012, time just declared the year of the MOOC. In 2011, 2012, I continued to offer a number of MOOCs. I set up MOOC.ca with the intent of aggregating and listing MOOCs. I never really worked on it a whole lot. Mostly I just use it as a place to house Grasshopper and offer MOOCs, but it still gets a fair amount of traffic. In 2012, as well as part of my ongoing efforts to learn French, I made a pledge to deliver a paper in French to a conference in Clare, New Brunswick, which I did. The delivery was a success. I was very proud of myself. I'm still proud of myself for having done that. And it opened some doors for me. I began doing some work with Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie, and we offered a French language MOOC. I think it was the second French language MOOC that there was. There was one that was offered in France ahead of time. It also gave me an opportunity to work with ALEXO, which is the Arab League Educational, Cultural, and Scientific Organization. And I've done a number of things since then with them. Nothing really that stands up as a product per se, but in a number of conferences. And of course, we did a small thing as part of LPSS with them. 2014, that's when LPSS became this big monster that took over my life. And that's mostly what I spent my time on over the next 2 years. One outcome of that is the workshop series that I'm continuing to do on developing a personal learning infrastructure. I've also looked at personal learning as it relates to communities, as it relates to content networks, as it relates to connectionism, etc. But we've talked about a lot of that over the years. I've also dedicated myself, in addition to camping, to cycling. I used to go to Prince Edward Island all the time where I could combine the two. And in 2014, I actually took part in the PEI Grand Fondo. I wasn't up to the Grand Fondo, which is 146 kilometers, but I was up to the Medio Fondo, which is 100 kilometers. And I've done 100 kilometers a number of times by bicycle. And I'm pretty proud of that too. And these days, I'm working on what's next. I'm continuing to cycle as much as I can. I'm continuing to take photographs as much as I can. And you know, you can see from the list of things that I've done, I've always had a theme. I've always had a purpose to what I'm doing. And it has to do with opening up doors, creating access, building resources where there are none, and creating opportunities for people who don't have opportunities. It doesn't sell well these days at NRC or elsewhere, but that's what I continue to do. And that's me and my life.